Okay, this week's parsha is Parshas Vayelech, Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Vayelech Moshe, and Moshe went, Vayidaber, Es Hadrim Ra'elah Kol Yisrael, and he spoke these words to all of Israel. Vayemer Alem, he said to them, Ben Mea Ve'asher Mashon Anoichi Hayoyim, I am 120 years today, Vayuchal Oid L'Lotzeis V'Lavoy, I can no more go out and to go out and to come in. Hashem Amar Eli, and God said to me, Lo Yisaver Es HaYarden Hazeh, you shall not cross over this Jordan, meaning the Jordan River. Hashem Elokecha, Hashem your God, Hu Oyver Lefanecha, he passes before you. Hu Yashmin Es HaGoyim Ha'elam Lefanecha V'Rishtam, he shall destroy these nations from before you, and you shall take their land. Yehoshua Hu Oyver Lefanecha, Yehoshua, Joshua will pass before you, Kasher Dibur Hashem, as God had spoken. V'asa Hashem Lohem, Kasher Osla Sichon, Ulaig Malchay Mari La'artzam, Hashem will do to them, as he did to Sichon and Og, the Amorite kings, into their land, Asher Hishmid Oysam, that God destroyed them, Ulasadam Hashem Lefnechem, God gave them before you, V'asisim Lohem, and you shall do to them, V'chol HaMitzvah Shetzivisi Aschem, like all I have commanded you. Chizku va'amtsu, be strong. Al tiru v'altaratzim b'vneyem, do not fear, do not be broken before them. Ki Hashem Elokech hohelech imach, Hashem your God, he goes with you. Lo yarbecha v'lo yazveka, he shall not release you, he shall not loosen his hold on you, and he shall not forsake you. Okay. So, as the Mefarshim say, this is the last day of Moshe's life. And that's what it means when he says, I am 120 years old today. You know, I basically lived out my full life, and I cannot go more out and in. I cannot cross the Jordan, and today will be the day of my demise. All the commentaries are bothered by the first two words in the parsha, Vayelech Moshe, and Moshe went. Where'd he go?
Yeah, where'd he go?
Where'd he go? I mean, he's giving a message over to the Jewish people. And we know that last week's parsha, which is Parshas Nitzavim, he had everybody gathered together to bring them into a covenant with Hashem before they would enter the land of Israel. So it would seem that, you know, what's happening here is he's just continuing talking. What is the Vayelech Moshe? What does it mean? And he went. Why was it necessary to go? Why is there mentioning and he go? Where did he go? So I want to share with you a number of comments that the commentaries here make. They're all very similar, but it's all very interesting on how they spell it out. So the Ibn Ezra says, Holach el kol shevet v'shevet. Where did Moshe go now? He went to each and every tribe. Lehodiyat, let them know, shehumeis, that he's going to die. Shelo yifchedu, and they shouldn't be afraid. V'chizak libam v'divrei Yehoshua, and he strengthened them by telling them that Yeshua will lead them. This is the commentary of Ibn Ezra. Okay? Al-Kain Kasav Achram V'atotan Chilano Isam Ulafi Daiti. Now, here he says something very interesting. The Ibn Ezra says, according to my opinion, Ki Oz Beirach HaShvatim, that when he went to each tribe and he told each one that he's dying and he strengthened them by telling them, Yeshua will lead you, he benched them. He gave them all the blessing. V'im Berchayseam U'chares V'michtav, even though their blessings are mentioned later. Meaning, this is Parshas Vayelech. We're going to have Parshas Hazinu. Then we're going to have the Parsha of Zayis HaBracha. This is the blessing that Moshe gave. That is where the Torah records the blessings he gave to each tribe before he died. The Ben Ezra suggests, he feels, that at this point, that Vayelech Moshe, and Moshe went, which means he went to each tribe, and he basically he said goodbye to them. And he encouraged them and strengthened them that Yeshua would lead them. He also gave them their blessing. That's when he gave them their blessing. It didn't happen something later on, which is the way it's written in the Torah. It happened now. It's recorded later on in the Torah, but it happened at this point. That's a very interesting Ibn Ezra. Now, the Sefornu says that Vayelech Moshe doesn't mean literal. There's another example in the Torah where it says, and somebody went. And it doesn't mean he really went anywhere. Rather, it means is basically he took an initiative. This is something that he did on his own. Where do we find that? If you look back in Parashat Shmos, it says, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, Vayikach es bas Levi. A man, these are Moshe's parents, a man from the house of Levi went and he took the daughter of Levi. Where did he go? The Torah doesn't mention he went somewhere to do it. The point is that this is something that he did on his initiative. So here too, Moshe is on his own, taking the initiative, and he says after he completed all the discussion of the covenant, of making the covenant, mentioned in last week's parsha, this is now when he also decided, again, he decided at that point to comfort the Jewish people regarding his death. Why? Says the Sefurnu, Kedei Shlo Ya'arbavu Simchas Habris Haruya Lehem Lehoyres Eloyesa Mekavim Habris Besimcha. The Sefurnu seems to be saying that really at this point where they enter the covenant with Hashem, which was again, you know, recommitting themselves to serving God when they go in the land of Israel without Moshe, this was supposed to be a joyous occasion. And Moshe's death was going to mar that. And therefore, Moshe decided that at this point of time, right after he finished discussing with them the covenant that they're entering, which should have been a time of joy, Moshe wanted to comfort them over the fact that he would now be departing from them. Okay. That's the Sefurnu. The Ramban says that after Moshe finished discussing with the Jewish people the covenant, they all went home. He was done with them. He had gathered them all together. He was done with them, and they all went home. And therefore, what did now Moshe do? Kimosha halach machna levi amachna Yisrael lechabedam. Kimisha yirtze lipatem echaveri bolitom eshus mimenu. Now that Moshe was going to die, he basically showed them respect as if he was, you know, when you're leaving someone, you go and ask them permission to go, to leave. It's an act of derech eretz, it's an act of respect. That's what Moshe was doing now. He took care of the covenant, and now he went to them to say goodbye, and to basically, you know, as if you know, you want to leave, when you're going to leave someone, you ask him permission. So now also he was going to them to tell them that he was going to die. Am I going to them to tell them that? That was his way of showing them that respect, as if he's saying, I'm asking, you know, I'm leaving, and I'm asking you permission to leave. Okay. The Kli Yakar says, and again, you see, they're all working on the same theme. It's all about Moshe is trying to comfort the Jewish people before he's letting them know that he's dying, and that he's trying to comfort them before he dies. The Kli Yakar, in his very interesting way, says that Vayelach Moshe went, means that Moshe was trying to make a certain point here. You know, Moshe says, I can't go out and I can't come anymore. So that sounds like he's saying, I'm too old. The problem is that we know when Moshe dies, what does the Torah say?
That he still had vigor,
his skin was still, you know, regular.
His eyes didn't dim.
Physically, Moshe was fine when he died. Mm-hmm. Right? When Moshe says, I can't do anymore, means to say that, Rashi says it means he can't teach Torah like he was able to before. Or it means he doesn't have permission to go anymore because Hashem said this is it. To make sure the Jewish people understood that Moshe is not dying now because of old age, but because Hashem said that now is the time, Moshe went. He went to the camp and he walked all around the camp to make it clear to everyone that physically he's fine. That's not the issue here.
That's miles on miles.
He did a lot of walking, it says. Okay? He says, they call Yisrael Bezrizis, La'arkal Arachba. He went through the whole camp, length and width, Bezrizis, quickly. Vayelach Moshe went. He ran. He ran over to everyone. He ran around telling everybody these words because he wanted to be very clear that this is not dying because of the fact that his strength is gone, that he's dying a regular, natural way, but he's dying because Hashem decided this is it.
It's like a couple hundred miles, bro. You know, there's millions of people. And, you know.
He did it. That's what he says.
It was a miracle. Like.
Probably.
Scooter.
Hmm? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, So the, Now, the next thing in the parasha, let's read it further on. Pasuk Zayin, Vayikra Moshe LeYeshua, and Moshe called to Joshua, Vayimra Elav, and he said to him, Le'enei call Yisrael in front of all the Jewish people, Chazak ve'amatz, be strong, Ki'ata tavoye sa'am hazeh el ha'aretz, for you shall bring this nation to the land, Ashenishba Hashem la'avayisem la'sei salhem, that Hashem swore to their forefathers to give to them, Va'ata tam chelana oisam, and you will make them inherit it. Va'ashem u'aylech lefanecha, God is who goes before you, who ye'imach, he shall be with you. Lo yarbachav lo yazveka, he shall not let go of you, he shall not forsake you. Lo yisirev v'lo yisechas, not be afraid, do not be broken. Okay? The way they describe the techas is to not be dismayed. Okay, now, so he's telling the Jewish people a message, he's calling Yoshua, and in front of everyone, he's charging Yoshua. Then, Vayichtav Moshe Satera Hazais, Moshe wrote this Torah, Vayitna LaKoyanim B'nei Levi, he gave it to the Kohanim, the sons of the Levi, Hanoisim as Arim Bris Hashem, who carry the Ark of the Covenant of God, the El Kol Zikne Yisrael unto all the elders of Israel. Then Moshe commanded them, saying, at the end of 7 years, on the holiday, on the set time of the Shemitah year, meaning at the conclusion of the Shemitah year, on the festival of Sukkos, when all of Israel comes to see the face of Hashem your God, to appear before God, in the place that he chooses, referring to the Beis HaMikdash, Tikra es ha-Torah ha-Zois, you shall read this Torah, Neged kol Yisrael baznehem, in front of all the Jewish people in their ears. Hakel es ha-Om, gather together the nation, ho-anashim ha-anashim ha-taf, men, women, children, v'garecha she-bisharecha, and the convert that is within your gates, l'man yishmu l'man yilmedu, so that they shall hear and they shall learn, v'yaruas Hashem aleikechem, they shall fear Hashem your God, v'shemu l'aseis kol divrei ha-Torah ha-zeis, and they shall guard to do all the words of the Torah. Okay. So Moshe writes a Torah, gives it to the Kohanim, and then he gives the Jewish people the mitzvah that's called Hakel. Hakel is after the Shemitah year is over, on the Sukkot after Shemitah, which would have been this year, during the Sukkot festival, the entire Jewish people, men, women, and children, because the mitzvah of going to Yerushalayim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, is an obligation upon men, not upon women, or children. But now, when it comes to Hakel, everybody has to come together, and on Sukkot, the Jewish people all gather at the Beis HaMikdash, and as the Mishnah in Saita tells us, it's the king who reads to them the Torah. What part of the Torah does he read to them? He reads to them from the beginning of Devarim. That's what he reads. He reads Devarim to them. Okay? So now, the Farshim focus on the following. It says, Moshe wrote this Torah, and he gave it to the Kohanim. And then, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, where the mitzvah of Hakel is being given, it says, Tikra es ha-Torah ha-Zeis, you shall read this Torah. Okay? Now, which Torah do you read on Hakel? Devarim. Right? So, it says, Moshe wrote this Torah, and it says, you shall read this Torah. So, it would almost sound like that when it says Moshe wrote the Torah, he's writing the same Torah that is read on Hakel. Which means, what is he writing? Is he writing a whole Torah or not? Or is he just writing Devarim? Again, it says Moshe wrote this Torah, and then it says afterward, by Hakel, you shall read this Torah. And Hakel, you don't read the whole Torah, you read Devarim. So are the two things connected? Because it would sound like, Tikra HaTorah HaZeh, you should read this Torah, is going on this Torah that Moshe, we just said Moshe wrote.
This portion.
So, the Ramban says no, and Rashi says no. When it says Moshe wrote the Torah here, it means the whole Torah. The whole Torah. Mm-hmm. And even though here it sounds like, you know, it's just going on Devarim, but we know that later on, towards the end of the Parsha, if you take a look on page 1098, and you look at towards the middle of the page by Shvi, actually the pasuk before pasuk Chavdalid, verse 24. And it was when Moshe completed writing the words of this Torah atumam until they were completed. Moshe commanded the Levium, the carriers of the ark, saying, "L'koyach ha-sefer ha-Torah hazeh, take this Torah, v'samtem oisai, and place it, mitzad Aron bris Hashem elokeichem, and at the side of the ark of the covenant of Hashem your God, v'yashem l'chol la'ed, and it shall be there as a testimony." Okay? So, here it's pretty clear that the Torah that Moshe is writing is the whole thing. So therefore, the Ramban says, although it may sound from these psukim that all Moshe wrote was Devarim, later on in the parasha you see it means he wrote the whole thing. But when it comes to reading and it says read this Torah, it means read from this entire Torah a part which is Devarim. Okay, so that's how Rashi the Ramban learned
these laws.
Right. The Sefornu doesn't learn that way. The Sefornu learns that there were two things here. There were two things Moshe wrote. First, Moshe just wrote a scroll of Devarim, which it seems, according to the he wrote a scroll of Devarim, okay, which is again what the king reads in Hakel, and then he also wrote a full Sefer Torah that was, as the Torah said, to be put at the side of the ark. There was a sefer of Moshe Rabbeinu that went at the side of the ark. Now let's turn back. Let's turn again to page 1098, and let's focus on this Sefornu's comment here regarding the full sefer Torah. So again, pasuk chavav, lakach a sefer Torah hazeh, take this scroll of the Torah, v'samtem oisai mitzad Aron bris Hashem elokeichem, place it at the side of the ark of the covenant of Hashem your God, v'yashem l'chol la'ed, it shall be there to you as a testimony. For I know your rebelliousness and your stubbornness. While I was alive with you, you were rebellious with God, against God. And for sure, after my death. Okay. So Moshe is saying that we have here this Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah is a testimony, for I know your rebelliousness. So the Sefornu says that the purpose of the Sefer Torah is like this. The purpose is as Moshe says, I know, and this is really what Moshe, you know, we didn't read the psukim before, but part of Moshe's last message to Jewish people is that I know you're going to rebel. I know you're going to rebel against God. Okay? So one of the ways to deal with that is like this. You know, the Jewish people are going to rebel, okay? They're going to rebel, and they're going to say, you know, who says we have to do this, and who says we have to do that? Let me read to you how this Sefornu says it. Okay, basically, if there's any kind of challenge to the authenticity of the Torah, the Jewish people are rebelling. The righteous people are trying to say, look, the Torah says, you're not supposed to do this. So they're going to say, you're telling me this comes from God? Who says? You know, here you got these books, and you're saying the books that come from God, who says? So you know what they're going to do? The answer is, the authenticity of what these books say is going to come from that Torah that Moshe wrote. That's going to be set aside by the Ark. And if it's by the Ark, then that means the only person who has access to it is the Kohen Gadol who goes in on Yom Kippur. So basically, it's not in anybody's hands that they could play around with it. It's basically a place where no one can get it. And everybody knows, and it's not a question of denying the tradition that Moshe left the Torah. It's not a question of denying, you know, certain facts. They're not going to necessarily deny that, because there it is. They know it's there. They know it's there. It's part of the tradition, the historical tradition. They know it's there. But if they try challenging any of the righteous people who say, look, the Torah says not to do this, they're going to try to challenge and say, who says it comes from God, they would be able to go back to that Sefer Torah and to say it's authentic. Everything that the book that the righteous people are saying that says that they're presenting these works and they're saying that this is against the rules and you're trying to challenge their authenticity, you'll go back to that Sefer Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu wrote and you'll be able to check and see everything's authentic. It's very interesting that there's a medrash that seems to say the same idea, says it a little bit different. And actually, according to the medrash, Moshe didn't just write one Torah. He wrote 13 in one day. Which the commentary of Beit Yosef says, clearly a miracle. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Kasav Yud Gimel Teres. Moshe wrote 13 Teres on that day. Yud Beis Lud Beis Shvatim. 12, one for each tribe. Bakas Hineach Ba'aren, and one he placed in the ark. He says, "Buh." Okay. Shem Yevakesh Le'echad Le'zayif Davar. That if anybody wants to forge anything, and if somebody wants to come and try to play around with it, change it, Shumaitzim Yisai Shabarin, they'll always be able to find the one in the ark and see what's true and what's not. So each tribe got its own Sefer Torah for whatever reason. There was one put in the ark to make sure that there's always one that's tamper-proof, that can't be tampered with, which is very similar to the idea of what the Sephorn is saying. It says a little bit differently, but it's the same idea. Now, Rashi says there's an argument as to whether this Torah that Moshe says to put at the side of the ark, does it mean it was inside of the ark? Or was there a place next to the ark for it to be? But it always was with the ark. That's the point. And again, as the Sefer is saying, as the Medrash is saying, the point of the Sefer Torah by the Ark is, if it's by the Ark, people don't have access to it. Because it doesn't have access to it, the Torah will always be authenticated by that Torah that Moshe wrote. Now, we just mentioned that the mitzvah of Hakel took place when? It took place on Sukkos. It took place on Sukkos after the Shemitah year. So, why then? It would have been this year. Okay? So why then? Why Sukkos? And why after the Shemitah year? So when it comes to Sukkos, the Abar Benel says that the reason for having... Now again, we have to remember the purpose of this national reading of the Torah was, as the Torah says, to inspire the Jewish people, to instill all of God in them, to fear God, to love God. This was all a way of inspiring them. And it's very interesting, and this is Moshe, and this is the mitzvah that Moshe gives him on the last day of his life, which the Sefer I have here, Haggas Parshas HaTorah, you know, interprets it as, on Moshe's last day of his life, he imparts to the Jewish people, what do you need as a nation? What is important for you as a nation? And the answer is the Torah. Because Hakel is that mitzvah that's meant every 7 years to inspire the nation, to inspire the people, to inspire the people to commit themselves to the Torah again. So it's an important mitzvah for Moshe on the last day of his life, because he's trying to impart to the Jewish people, this is what you need as a nation. So the Abar Benel says that the reason why the time for reading this is Sukkos is because Sukkos comes after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Jewish people have already been inspired by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So now is a good time to inspire them further with this public reading of the Torah. Why after the Shemitah year? Why then? So the Meshech Chachma says that the reason after Shemitah year actually can come from two angles. Number one, during the Shemitah year, I mean, Israel was an agricultural country. Right? So what do you do during the Shemitah year if you're not working on the farm? You learn Torah. It's actually brought down that it's a time now for the farmers to dedicate themselves to studying Torah. So they hope now, so the nation basically went through a whole year of intense Torah study. Again, it's brought them to a certain level. Clearly a very good point, a very good time to further inspire them. But he also comes from a different angle, and that is, now that they're going back to work, they also need inspiration. Now that they're going back to their, call it mundane activities, now again, starting again, getting back into their regular work activities, again, that's also when they need inspiration to remember to be committed to the Torah. So that's how the Nesh Chacham explains why is it that it's that this happens after the Shemitah after the Shemitah year. Now let's go back a little bit. Page 1096, Pasuk Yudalet. Okay. So, Pasuk Yudal, verse 14. Vayimer Hashem al Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Hein karvu yamech alamus, behold, your days are approaching to die. Kras Yehoshua, call to Yehoshua, v'syatsu al moye v'atzavenu, stand in the at the tabernacle, at the Mishkan, and I shall charge him. Vayilach Moshe v'yeshua v'yisatsu al moye, Moshe and Yeshua went, and they stood by the Mishkan. Vayira Hashem ba'oyel ba'amud anon, God appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud. Vayamayid amud ha'anon al-pesach ha'oyel, a pillar of cloud stood by the opening of the tent. Vayayimer Hashem el Moshe in chashaych v'mavisecha. Hashem says to Moshe, behold, you will be lying with your forefathers. V'kamamazeh, this nation shall arise, v'zonach harei Elohim echar ha'aretz, and stray after the gods of the people of the land. Asher hu ba'asham ha'bekir ba'i, Eloheinecha, the strange gods of the land in which he is coming into their midst there, Vazavani, and he, referring to the Jewish people as a whole, shall forsake me, Vayferes Barisi, and break my covenant, Ashakarati Ite, that I made with him. Vachara Api Bay Bayemahu, I shall become angry with them on that day, Vazavtim, I shall forsake them, Visati Fonai Mehem Vayolachal, I will hide my face from them, and they shall be consumed. And many great evils and tribulations will find him. And he will say on that day, he means the Jewish people will say on that day, is it not because my God is not in my midst? Have all these evils found me? And I shall surely hide my face on that day. I'll call a Ra'asher Asa for all the evil that he has done. For he has turned to other gods. Okay. Now, it says the Jewish people will stray after the pagan gods. God says, I will be angry. I shall forsake them. I'll hide my face from them. They'll have lots and lots of tzaras. The Jewish people will say, is it not because my God is out of my midst that all these evils have befallen me? What does that sound like?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like that they're regretting. It sounds like they're realizing that what's the problem here? Because God is not in our midst. And they understand that because of their sins. That's what it sounds like. So if they're regretting the sins, it should be good, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem that way. Because the Pasuk says, Va'anoichi haster asa panai ba'imahu, and I shall surely hide my face on that day. Why is Hashem hiding their face? They seem to be regretting, they seem to be doing tshuva. What's the problem? So here is Zafornu, which has a very important lesson. Va'anoichi haster asa panai ba'im. Loi k'may shechashvu heim ba'amram she'eni b'kirbam. I skipped a line. The Zafornu starts. Okay. Sefornu says, Al ki eno ekaya bekeim etzini ha-ro'is. Bishvil shesilik shechinasai mitorcheinu ha-yo eilu lanu. Why has all this come to us? Because his divine presence has left us. Uvachashvam zeh. Now when the Jewish people think that way, lo yifnu lispalav l'losha b'tshuva. If God has left, then that means that in their minds, There's no point of davening, no point of praying, no point of repenting, because he left. What is Hashem's response? V'hanoichi haster aser panai mehem. I'll hide my face. Loikamay shachashvu heim ba'amr mish'eini b'kirbam. Not like they think that I'm not in their midst. Ki amne b'chomokim shiyu teshchinasi mitsuyasham. Because wherever the Jewish people will be in exile, my divine presence will be with them. Ka'amram Zal, as the sage has said, b'chomokim shagobol Yisrael, wherever the Jewish people went into exile, shchina imohem. My divine presence is with them. I will ask their panai mahitzilam, but I will hide my face to save them from the tribulations. So it seems, right, to some degree, the Jewish people are saying, you know why you're having these problems? God has left us. The problem is, if that's how you look at it, then you've given up. You've given up. And therefore, Hashem's response is not, okay, you've done tshuva, because on the contrary, the way the Sephardim seems to be saying is, you've given up. You realize your mistake. You realize you've done wrong. You realize you brought it on yourself. But if he left us, there's no point to do anything. And Hashem says, and I will hide my face that day. Jewish people got it wrong. It's not, like, not that I left them. Mm-hmm. I'm always amongst them. I'm always with them. It's just that they can't see me. I'm concealing myself from them because I'm not saving them. So the Sephardim really sounds like this regret that they're saying doesn't work. It doesn't really accomplish anything. Doesn't accomplish anything. Because it's a mistaken attitude. Mm-hmm. It's an attitude that Hashem has left them. If that's what they think Hashem has left them, then they think there's no way of turning around, no way of coming back. And Hashem says, no, you're making a mistake. That's not what it is. What it is that I'm always with you, just that I'm concealed from you. And therefore, I haven't forsaken you. And you shouldn't think that I forsake you. That's the problem here with this statement on the Jewish people's part. Elokai b'kirbi, they're saying, Hashem has left us. He's forsaken. He's left. He's done with us. And Hashem says, no, I'm never done with you. Mm-hmm. I may be concealing myself from you, but I'm never done with you.